today is Friday, March the 6th, 65th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, Eureka City Manager, still, Greg Sparks. That just depends on where I put the emphasis, right?
Yes, it does. I'm still the city manager, and I'm still Greg Sparks.
See, okay. You know, a double win on a Friday. Okay. Who says it can't happen?
Right.
I just realized, though, that we've got a Friday the 13th next week.
Well, I'm glad it's not today.
With Mr. Woods. Damien, we're going to have some fun on that show. We're going to have to figure something out to get Ken. Yeah, nobody tell him. If he happens to be listening, okay, fine. But nobody tell him anything. We're going to mess with him.
I'm sure you will come up with something appropriate or inappropriate.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Got a couple different things to talk about today. General plan, Eureka. Well, the question is, who's going to cross the finish line first? Eureka or the county?
Now, see, I had that conversation with Phil Smith Haynes a couple of weeks ago, and he said,
give you odds?
He said the county was going to try to have theirs done by August of 2016. I said, well, man, we're shooting for either September or October. And he said, I don't think you have anything to worry about.
Yeah.
I think he's a little concerned about that August deadline.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see who gets to wear the laurels.
Right, okay. Right.
Also, we'll do a little discussion about the situation, the condition of the streets in Eureka. Not those driving it, but the actual streets themselves, infrastructure. Typically, that's not an exciting or a sexy thing, but I'll do my best to make it that way when we come back.
Okay.
The best Spanish language station on the North Coast is Juan 790. Tune in to 790 AM for great music, sports from ESPN, and CNN News en Español. If you're a business owner, ask Juan to connect you with the Spanish-speaking community. You'll be glad you did. Visit Juan online at juan790.com or give us a call at 442-5744. Juan 790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and Information Times, 313. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Greg Sparks. But before we do our quote this afternoon, unfortunately, this is an anonymous one. I'd love to take credit for this one, though. The best revenge is to live long enough to be a problem to your children.
I think I've heard that one before.
Yeah, Yeah, I've heard it, but it was in a slightly different... The wording was a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
The best revenge is to be long enough. Something with kid. It wasn't problem. Oh, well. Challenge? I don't know. That works today. I can go with that. And then here's a Woody Allen one I'll throw in just bonus round. My parents put a live teddy bear in my crib.
Okay.
Good. Well, I at least... Got a couple chuckles here in the studio. Oh, boy. Streets have got to be one of the coolest things for government types to be able to say, and we're doing this for you. Is there anything that rivals street construction or repavement as far as good guy? From city administration?
Oh, maybe putting in that neighborhood park, you know, that's a pretty good one. Building that regional park that has all the ball fields and things like that. But, you know, streets are something people use every day. So, you know, that it has a little more cachet than, oh, we repaired your sewer system. You know, that doesn't. You know, that's all underground. You don't
replace
really
the fire hydrant down the corner. Yeah,
right.
Okay.
And you know, and here in Eureka, I mean, it's a good thing we don't have a freeze and thaw cycle like I'm used to from all the years working in the Midwest.
Yeah,
or up
I bet
in
you're
the
really
mountains.
Tearing up about that, huh?
Every morning for the last several months, as I watch the national news, I'm thankful that I'm here in Eureka in the wintertime and not sliding off the road. Whereas my sister-in-law in Nashville this past week, hit head-on from someone who lost control and got her car totaled. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, there was something, one of the suburbs of Nashville.
Nashville has just been hit really hard this year.
Yeah.
They've had all kinds of snow and ice.
So somebody slid into her?
Someone slid head on to her on their kind of residential road.
Okay, but it was like sliding. It wasn't somebody going 50.
I don't think they're going 50, but I think she got her airbags were deployed and she got kind of beat up from that. So.
And she wasn't flying an airplane at the time.
No, she was not flying the airplane.
Isn't that goofy? That was a lead story for the last news cycle was Harrison Ford.
Well, you had the jet at LaGuardia that, they kept saying, and was just feet away from the icy waters. It was never from the water. It was from the icy waters.
Right, right. And that thing, I guess, they just plowed?
And the
tires just didn't get traction when they landed?
Yeah, that was kind of strange looking.
Okay.
But then, the Harrison Ford landing in the Gulf, landing in the Gulf.
I suppose we'll have now Indiana Jones 5. The Wright brother years.
I loved the first three Indiana Jones movies, but after seeing the fourth one, they do not need to do a fifth.
Yeah, that was kind of weak, but I guess they are doing. He's supposed to be an older. What a stunner. So as you're looking at the streets and the overall condition of those in Eureka, and let's put sidewalks on there too, because I think they're connected. How would you rate it on a 10 scale? What's the condition of the roads in Eureka? Or the streets, I guess.
If one is good and 10 is the worst, I'd give an overall score of a 7.5.
Okay.
I think they're pretty bad. We've got some main arterials that are in pretty good shape, but a lot of residential roads are in tough condition, and even roads that serve the business districts are not as good as they should be, and quite frankly, there's a lot of reasons for that. And
is it wear and tear, or is it a planning issue?
It is a lack of funding to have a good road maintenance and rehabilitation program.
And that wasn't an option.
That wasn't?
No. I mean, I've never talked to anybody who is an elected or a senior administrative position who says, we have enough money. The fallback always is, we don't have enough to do fill in the blank. So let's set that aside, because that's a priority issue. Now you may want cops more than streets. I get it.
Sure.
But it's a priority issue. So is it a planning issue? Or is it that Eureka happens to have so much additional traffic above and beyond what a town of 30,000 should have?
Well, I will give that part of the, I wouldn't call it an argument, but
discussion.
For a city of 28,000, we're bordered by
almost
unincorporated, developed part of the county, and that brings a lot of traffic through certainly the primary city streets, and then being a regional center with 101 and our commercial district, a lot of traffic. I was just seeing the other day the traffic count on South Broadway was 31,000 cars a day, and I just kind of put that in my own perspective of remembering the counts on Interstate 35 south of the Twin Cities when I lived in Minnesota, which was 36,000 cars a day.
See, we have a little action going on here. KINS, News and Information, Times 319.
Hey, Faith, you want to hang out?
Not now. I'm filling out my FAFSA.
Your what?
It's the application for student aid, and it's my ticket to getting funding for the tech training I'm going for. Having a FAFSA on file is the gateway to getting a ton of other aid. Remember Steve? He didn't qualify for federal aid, but because he had a FAFSA on file, he got thousands of dollars from the university he went to.
Have you got more copies?
Go to decadeofdifference.org for the workshop schedule, but hurry up. The deadline's March 2nd.
It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Greg Sparks. Greg, when you look at the layout of the streets and the sidewalks in the town, if the condition was poor, what about the layout? I mean, you can still have your streets now snappy, snappy, and everything's brand new paved, and it, but if they're still going the wrong way or they're not wide enough, it really doesn't do a hill of beans worth of good, effective planning and vehicle activity. Do you see anything? I mean, have there been motion studies, the equivalent of a motion study done for the city? Are there things that can be done that would make sense? I mean, even our street, turn Booner into a one-way. At least it's a one-way and everybody's heading the right direction instead of getting all these guys trying to make these turns all over the place and you get either rear-ended or, you know, end up on somebody's front yard.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I don't know if there's been that type of a study done. I mean, just here pretty recently we had a speed study completed, and those reports went to council. Then at past council meeting, we had first reading on ordinance that changed some speed limits. So kind of looked at all the...
When do those go up into effect?
Well, we'll have the...
Presuming everything goes.
Yeah, second reading is coming up then in another week and a half, and I believe it's then 30 days after published. So you're really looking at 1st of May before it all really goes into effect.
Are they going up or going down?
You know, there's a few that went up, but most of the ones that changed were actually going down. So like H&I going from 35 to 30.
Oh, that'll frustrate the kids.
And, you know, that's based really on that goes set speed at 85th percentile. And I think that surprised some people thinking that the speed was maybe higher than that, even though shouldn't be.
No, those are the ones with the spoilers in the back.
Yeah. But, you know, the thing we have coming up is next week with the city council, we're doing a work session to talk about street improvements, street maintenance, street sweeping, and some ideas for how to get some more money into dealing with street maintenance. Kind of what we've seen the last, and we'll provide some history on what's been happening over the last 20 years. And that's the thing you can do when you get someone like Bruce Young, who's been with the city a long time, our public works director. And Bruce, though, is retiring. But we had to get this work session in before his last day. So Bruce is retiring on Friday the 13th. It'll be his last day with the city. But
you going to give him a lump of asphalt?
We could probably
bronze it or something.
We'll give him one that's been all nicely resealed or
right,
something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
But it really came back even to comments from Mayor Yeager back during the budget, this past summer, that what can we do to get more money and more projects and streets? And what we've seen happen in this last 20 years is we've had, for street improvement, street maintenance, we have a higher reliance on the federal highway user tax funds that used to really help fund more projects.
That's not STIP, is it?
No, the HUTA, H-U-T-A.
Okay.
And the personnel costs were really covered out of the general fund in terms of street employees and that type of thing. As the general fund budget has been squeezed in the last 10 years, with more of it being directed toward police and fire, we've had to take more of the normal street maintenance functions coming out of the highway user tax. And now for this, what we're seeing in the next year is we're going to have less revenues from highway user tax than what we had this past year. So
because it's based on gas tax?
It's based on gas tax, and there's kind of a complicated formula with the state. But, you know, we need that to be increasing every year, not to have a year where we're going to see a kind of reduction next year. We've got
Well, it's because you keep having all these people buy these fuel-efficient vehicles. They don't need as much gas, I've been told.
Yeah, and he looks
I'm not falling prey to that.
Yeah, see, and he looks at me, the Prius owner, so.
No, the Prius owner.
Yes, the Prius squared owner.
Yes.
Right.
Well, one of the things that I think a lot of folks probably forget when we talk about surface is that 4th and 5th are Caltrans' responsibility.
Yes, that's right.
What about the streets on either side? Because there's a lot of times there's the aproning. And you got two aprons, let's say 4th and 5th, on pick a letter.
Yeah.
P.
Yeah.
Okay. But you still have got that 50 yards in between the two that doesn't get any attention. Does that make any sense at all? Or can the city kind of combine with and maybe take advantage of the buying power that the state has, to say, hey, guys, you know, let's just finish off that whole block instead of aproning both sides and not finishing off the center.
Right. You want to have a system that treats this as comprehensively as possible, not having these kind of maintenance gaps or that type of thing. So certainly part of that work session will be to focus on certainly a little bit of history and identifying the problem, but we've also got some ideas for how we can get some more money into direct just towards street maintenance. So those are going to be some of the concepts we want to discuss with council. So one of the things that's out there that's been made difficult through changes through voter referendum is the difficulty in doing special assessments for streets. I mean, I've come out of some states where it's very easy to do special assessments for dealing with residential streets. It's just more a matter of a hearing in the council ordering the project. In California, it's the two-thirds voting requirement. That's a very high standard to try to reach, because a lot of people are going to think, well, gee, I pay property taxes, I pay sales tax, how come I have to pay more? I pay school taxes.
Don't forget the schools, man.
Yeah, so why do I need to pay more taxes in order to get my street done?
KINS, News and Information Times, 3:30.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Eureka City Manager Greg Sparks. Greg, the concept of streets is one part or element, I believe is the technical term, in the general plan.
Yes.
All right. See, I've been paying attention sometime in the last 35 years. We hear the general plan of the county. We go, oh, boy, what a quagmire. Implied company, it's a quagmire. Okay. Now here comes little old Eureka pouncing through, and you're shooting to get it done in under 3 or 4 years, where the county has been wrestling with it for 20 plus years. Why is the city capable of getting a general plan through where a county with larger staff seems unable to get it through in the same time, or even 3 times, 4 times, 5 times as long?
Boy, you want me to answer that?
Well, everybody keeps saying the relations between the city and the county are the strongest they've ever been, so I'll test it.
You know, I really don't know that background on what the politics have been on the county's general plan. It is hard to understand how you could go through this many years and twists and turns in their general plan. I just, from what we've tried to do with our general plan, is set a timetable. And believe me, that timetable was sliding for a while. Rob Holmler, our community development director, Rob came on, 5 months ago or so, really helped kind of push it back on track, keep the consultants on track, keep our staff on track.
Pretty much cracking the whip.
You really kind of need to.
Getting everybody to focus on.
You have to treat timelines like they mean something, that they aren't just if it happens.
You mean wall decoration?
And the problem is when you let the timeline slide, the cost goes up. You spent a lot of money doing a general plan update in California. These are very expensive plans. At the end of the day, if we're going to spend a lot of money on it, we need to have something that's going to be worthwhile. What we took to the council and the planning commission, it'll be 2 weeks ago now, was 3 chapters. The local coastal plan, draft of that, the mobility, which gets at streets, it gets at transit, pedestrian access, bicycle, that type of thing. And the area that we spent a lot of time having probably the most discussion was on annexation, because there's a chapter that really said, let's look at the areas outside the city of Eureka are there any that make sense from an annexation standpoint? And some of those, quite frankly, we crossed off the list from some pretty easy study. That doesn't mean the ones that are still on the list that, oh, we're going to annex those. It means we still need to do some more study, and at some point, you know, you start reaching out to those areas, and because if the residents don't want that to happen, it's pretty difficult to make that happen.
My understanding from annexation, and I still think it ought to happen. I mean, for Myrtletown not to be part, for Cutton not to be part, is, to me, is asinine stupid. But then again, I wear those mantles proudly. But it would seem to me that the stuff we were talking about with the funding of the roads,
yeah,
the assignments of the fire station, the police department, whether they want to have a gathering place in some of the, you know, Cotton would be a logical spot to have. All that stuff would then kind of come together, and it's a natural boundary instead of some of the old historical middle of Harrison. Come on, guys. You got different sets of rules on either side of the street. That's stupid. I mean, just really and inefficient. But it has to be revenue neutral. That was the thing. Revenue neutral, and the community annexed does not get sucked in. They have to authorize being part of that community.
Right.
Is the revenue neutral the biggest challenge?
You know, that's certainly the point I was making to council, that there's a reason why that for some of the, well, maybe makes sense to annex this area or that area. If it costs the city of Eureka money, that you're taking in some developed residential area that has very little additional commercial opportunity or vacant land opportunity, we don't need to take on kind of revenue losers. So we need something that at a minimum is revenue neutral, and it what you'd prefer is that, you know, and coming out ahead is probably pretty hard to pull off, but certainly revenue neutral.
Well, wasn't a lot of that stuff challenged with the ERAF shift that the state did when it went from property tax to sales tax?
Yes.
Didn't that make it, I mean, that's tough. Yeah, if it was just based property tax, okay, then you just calculate it. I mean, that's a simple one.
Right.
But it was mm-hmm. another residual off of what the state did.
You know, and that's the thing within, you know, Eureka, we are so, from our budget, we are so sales tax driven that to take on an area that maybe doesn't have a high property tax value, but those people that live there, they're shopping at our auto dealerships and our big boxes and our small stores.
You're ahead of the game now.
Yeah, we're getting the value of that without having to service here. So that's an important consideration when you look at annexation.
It would probably be a little bit challenging also with the way the fire district is construed now also, if that got enveloped or a large percentage of that district got enveloped into the city.
What it
would
do,
change things, wouldn't it?
What it would do at this point, you know, we have fires under a joint powers agreement. You know, it's no longer City of Eureka Fire Department and the Humboldt, you know, it's all Humboldt Bay, but we're 65% of the funding formula. So if we took annex some areas adjacent, that our percentage goes up, and depend upon the formula, we may not necessarily see enough increased revenue to justify that.
So increase. Are there any communities, Greg, that do annexation successfully, revenue-wise or neutral, other than those areas that are just expanding in total growth and you're getting into undeveloped areas, so it's new territory rather than existing?
You know, that is really the typical model, is when you have that ability to expand into areas that, you know, are currently agriculture or undeveloped. I think it's a real tough model to go into developed areas. And I haven't.
Regardless of the community's desires to be part of that town.
Right.
Is there, I know there was at one point, a benefit to cross benchmark thresholds in population? If Eureka could say 50,001, does that open up any special grant funding sources of revenue that aren't available to towns under the size of 50,000?
The one thing where that I'm certainly aware of where that kicks in, and that is at that 50,000 level, is to become on community development block grants, to be an entitled community where you get an automatic CDBG funding I know I had that in a previous city I worked in. But I guess on the other end, we've been very successful in Eureka in getting community development block grant funds. So certainly there's things that are population-based, but they are that's one of the few that actually hits a benchmark. There are so there's no sense major benefit from hitting a benchmark like that.
KINS, News and Information Times, 343. We'll be back with more from Greg Sparks.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 347. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Greg Sparks. Greg, you had a little bit of excitement on Wednesday. Not you, but the fire department. I guess it was close enough so that you guys probably saw a little smoke from the second and third floors at City Hall. What is the status of the various, let's see, we don't call them hotels or motels because they're over 30-day stays. Are they residential facilities? Is that what they're?
Yeah, I think that might fit in some kind of definition like that.
If you run the list of all of those that qualify, are there any that you and Mary would feel comfortable staying in? Or recommending, let's say, your siblings when they come to town to visit you? Are there any of them?
Boy, you're trying to set me up with some of these hotel owners?
No, what I'm concerned about is we've got all these fire traps or mold and mildew stuff sitting around. Nobody's doing anything, and it's part of the whole blight that you sense when you drive 4th and 5th Street in Eureka. And it just kind of seems like they're there, and they atrophy, and they atrophy, and they atrophy, and nobody's doing anything unless there's major criminal activity associated with that facility, or they don't pay their taxes.
You know, and that's a little different issue than, say, with our hotel motel ordinance that goes
completely different.
You know, we talked about, I think, last month with the Blue Heron that the city closed down. It's, how do you, in a sense, get reinvestment back in those properties to keep them at a better level? And
is there any trick? Or does every city have that kind of challenge?
I'd say a lot of us have that challenge. It isn't just a California thing. I've seen that in other places as well. And it usually means, you try to use your ordinances effectively in terms of rental housing ordinances that set standards and have an inspection program to where you're in those units, at least on an annual basis, to make sure that they're complying with your fire codes and other building codes. And, those are the kind of things that are necessary.
Could it be as simple as if your property values are going up, those things get repurposed? And if your property values aren't increasing, it's not worth it to the current land owner to do anything? Is it that simple?
From that landowner's perspective?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it maybe comes down to if I can make this much money renting it at this level, I can put $250,000 improvements, but it doesn't increase my rent to any appreciably, then why would I spend the money?
Back down to economic viability for Eureka. Oh, well. We'll work on that one next time. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you, Brian.
We've been Talking Shop with Greg Sparks. Join us Monday afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Have someone you love, and I'll see you tomorrow morning.